Hello, I'm Barbara Washington, and I'll be your host for Your Health Connection, a new program that addresses prostate cancer, cancer of all types, and the building blocks of good health outcomes. This program is sponsored by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development, or CCRTD, at Clark Atlanta University, in partnership with WCLK 91.9 FM. CCRTD is comprised of a team of research scientists and student research associates devoted to increasing the volume of research concerning prostate cancer, which disproportionately impacts African American men. The center does this through research, advocacy, community education, and outreach. Your Health Connection will bring medical professionals, experts, and community advocates together to inform you about the most recent and up-to-date preventative cancer health care issues facing your community. This program is on the air each month on WCLK as an hour-long radio program, which will also be available on demand at WCLK's Your Health Connection webpage. Today's program will feature Dr. Donald Tindall and Dr. Larissa Nahn, guest experts who were featured at the CCRTD Prostate Cancer Symposium held March 18th through the 20th at the Hyatt Regency Hotel in downtown Atlanta, as well as prostate cancer survivor Reggie Hicks. Our first guest is Dr. Donald Tindall, who is director, vice chair, and professor of urologic research in the Department of Urology at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. Dr. Tindall's research focuses on prostate cancer. He currently serves on the editorial boards of several scientific journals and previously served on the editorial board of the Yearbook of Cancer. In addition, Dr. Tindall has chaired a number of international conferences. He was president of the Society for Basic Urologic Research, co-chair of the Prostate Cancer Review Group, and chair of the National Cancer Institute Scientific Review Group. Dr. Tindall has published over 220 original scientific papers and has written over 40 reviews and book chapters. He has received numerous awards from groups including American Men and Women of Science, Men of Achievement, Who's Who in Technology Today, Leading Consultants in Technology, the Society for Basic Urologic Research, and the National Institutes of Health. Thanks so much for joining us today, Dr. Tindall.
Thank you, Barbara.
As a student, what fueled your interest in prostate cancer research?
I think what fueled my interest was, one, my father had prostate cancer. And at the time, I was studying the endocrinology of androgen action. And this naturally led me into studying prostate as a target organ. And prostate cancer became my passion after that.
What is the prostate and what's its function?
The prostate is an organ in the man whose function is to create proteins that facilitate reproduction.
And how does prostate cancer develop?
We don't know the complete answer to that, but prostate cancer is associated with age. So men after the age of 60 have an increased risk of prostate cancer. And this continues to increase up until even 90 years old. So it's certainly associated with age. There is a hormonal component. So the male sex steroid testosterone is a component in this development of prostate cancer. And there are many other molecular effects that we don't fully understand at this time. But in today's world, we're learning more and more about the mechanisms that cause prostate cancer.
Why does this type of cancer impact one community more than others, specifically African American males?
That's an excellent question. Probably a large component is the genetic component, and we're beginning to identify genes that might be involved with that. Also, lifestyle and environment can be a component of this. We do know that Japanese, for instance, who have a very low incidence of prostate cancer, if they move to the United States, the incidence in the Japanese community increases. So certainly the lifestyle and environment can play an important role.
What are the warning signals of prostate cancer?
Often prostate cancer is detected by a test called prostate-specific antigen. This is a test that can be run from a sample of blood. And even though this test is non-specific, a rise in PSA can be indicative of prostate cancer, although it can also be indicative of other non-malignant effects of the prostate, such as benign prostate hyperplasia.
With the PSA test that you just spoken about, there are numbers associated with it. How should the patient who's taken this test handle the reporting of these numbers, say, on an annual basis?
Right now, the PSA test actually is quite controversial. And the reason it's controversial is because PSA, elevated PSA, will lead to detection of cancers that are perhaps not necessarily need to be treated. In other words, a patient could be actively followed by a physician and monitored so that if that cancer begins to progress, then action can be taken. So the recommendation in the past was for a man, after he was 50 years old, have a PSA test each year. People are beginning to question that, although it's usually left to the physician to make that decision.
At what age? You said 50, but is there another age perhaps that screening should, for prostate cancer should begin? And are there other screening tools that you use?
Well, certainly there have been cancers detected in younger men. But it's not recommended that younger men be screened for prostate cancer. Nonetheless, they should certainly receive a health checkup once a year. That's number one. They should pay attention to their own health. And if they are having trouble urinating, for instance, or if there's blood in the urine, these should certainly be brought to the attention of a physician. And a general assessment each year of the overall health of a man is very good. And in fact, normally a prostate exam would be a normal part of that physical exam.
There have been many advances in treatment options available for the past few years. Could you discuss some of those options?
Sure. With a tumor that's detected early, and that is the tumor is not grown outside of the prostate, then there are several options available. One is surgery. Another is radiation. And these two options should be done in consultation with the physician. And the physician will make his assessment based on the pathology. Normally, the way we detect a prostate cancer is the physician will conduct a physical. The prostate will be examined. This is called a digital rectal examination, where the physician can actually feel the outside of the prostate. And if he feels some lumps in there, then he will probably order a biopsy. And this is a needle that's inserted into the prostate. A small amount of tissue is withdrawn. And then a pathologist will examine that tissue to see the grade of tumor that's found, or if there's a tumor at all. Perhaps this is not due to a tumor. But if a tumor is found, it has several grades, and depending on that grade, the doctor will recommend active surveillance, and that is the patient will just come back to the doctor periodically, and they will watch that tumor to see whether or not it progresses. If it does progress, then they will probably recommend surgery or radiation. However, if a tumor has progressed outside of the prostate, it's more advanced in its condition, then probably another type of treatment will be recommended. And there are a number of treatments where there's chemotherapy. There's also therapy that will block testosterone action in the prostate. And so we're quite fortunate nowadays that we do have a number of treatment options.
You mentioned that lifestyle has a lot to do with the onset of prostate cancer. What other things can men do to decrease their chances of developing this disease?
That's a great question. And in fact, it pertains more to not only to prostate, but to other cancers. A healthy lifestyle can reduce the chance for any cancer. So healthy eating habits, that is non-fat or low-fat meats, diet rich in green and colorful vegetables, these are all good things for your body and for the prostate. Also, exercise is not only good for your body, but good for your prostate. And then let's not forget other cancers such as lung cancer, which we could entirely cure if people would stop smoking.
This is Barbara Washington, and you're listening to Your Health Connection, a program sponsored by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. Our guest is Dr. Donald Tindall, who is director, vice chair, and professor of urologic research in the Department of Urology at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. Discuss some of the latest research on prostate cancer.
Well, we've had a number of exciting breakthroughs in prostate cancer recently. One is we discovered a gene that is rearranged in prostate. There's what we call a fusion between two genes. So these two genes are joined together. One of these genes actually is a driver of prostate cancer. The other gene responds to testosterone and therefore contributes to the activity of this gene. So we've learned that when these two genes join, there's a quite high incidence of prostate cancer found in those patients. And so we're beginning to study these genes and to learn how they contribute to the development and progression of prostate cancer.
Going back to the discussion of lifestyle, because the lifestyle is different in the United States based really on the region that you live in, have you found that prostate cancer appears more often in some regions of the country than others? And can you specifically link that back to lifestyle?
That's a great That's a great question. And in fact, there is a greater incidence of prostate cancer in the northern areas of the United States. And many have attributed that to a reduced exposure to sunshine. So, of course, vitamin D is involved in sunshine effects on the body. And so vitamin D has been an area of intense interest in studying how prostate cancer is developed.
So getting outside a little bit more often or augmenting it with vitamin D would help people who might suffer this disease?
Well, that's the hypothesis. Mm-hmm. I would say that has not been proven yet, mm-hmm. but it's an interesting hypothesis, and certainly there are profound effects of vitamin D on the prostate, which fits within that hypothesis.
Okay. Researchers often project the elimination of a disease within a specific time period. Is there any such projection for prostate cancer? And if so, what developments that you've seen support that?
Yes. And I think we should think of prostate cancer in terms of not being one disease, but many diseases. For instance, if we find a cancer in the prostate, we find multiple points of cancer around the prostate, suggesting that what has led to the cancer is not one insult, but more than one insult. I also think we should think in terms of not curing prostate cancer, but rather treating a man so that he can die with the disease rather than from the disease. If we could simply slow down the progression of cancer, men could live a healthy lifestyle with the cancer and probably would die of other natural causes. So I think that should be one of the objectives.
Dr. Tindall, we certainly appreciate you visiting with us today and spending time sharing this valuable information. Do you have any parting words that you'd like to give our audience about prostate cancer?
Well, I would like to raise the awareness of prostate cancer. Unfortunately, this is a disease that few people have been willing to discuss in the past, simply because most cancers are detected in older men, and I think they are not very willing to discuss this disease. And I think the more we discuss it, the more the public is aware of it, and the more support can be given to research in understanding and treating and curing this disease.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Our guest in today's first segment of Your Health Connection has been Dr. Donald Tindall, Director, Vice Chair, and Professor of Urologic Research in the Department of Urology at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. Coming up in a moment, we will look at prostate cancer from a research perspective with pathologist Dr. Larissa Nahn. I'm Barbara Washington, and you're listening to Your Health Connection from the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University.
So you ask, what are your chances of getting prostate cancer? Age is the strongest risk factor for prostate cancer. This disease is rare in men before the age of 40. However, as you grow older, your chances for getting prostate cancers go way up. For men who are over 40, give yourself the gift of life and get a prostate cancer screening test today. You, your family, and friends will appreciate it. This announcement in the public interest is made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. More information is available online at ccrtd.cau.edu.